podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Tom Price with you as ever. And this week, I've got a fantastic pair of guests on. We've gone for a duo again. First time since we had Scummy Mummies on, actually. We've got two people on at once. And I'm very, very pleased to welcome these guys. They are, well, first and foremost, they're school teachers, but also fantastic, funny, funny guys, brilliant podcasters. They've got a book out as well. They're called Two Mr. P's, Lee and Adam Parkinson. Welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Oh, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Guys, I'm really looking forward to this. I love what you do. I love your pod. I saw your show at the podcast festival recently, and I just it was just great. It was great to see all the memories of primary school. It was great to see all the stories coming in thick and fast. But it was also great to see a load of teachers out on the lash.
Well, and boy, do we lash. we've just started the live tour, and every venue that we go to, they're always really surprised at how much alcohol the teachers put away when they come to one of our live shows. They just don't expect it, and we pretty much clear them out. So
do your colleagues at the schools that you teach, do you teach at the same school?
No. Local schools, but no, we've never worked at the same school.
That would be too much.
Too many P's for that pod.
No school is big enough for the two of you. What's it like when teachers go on the lash? Because in my head, I still think of the TV show Teachers, which I used to love when I was younger, and I really thought about getting into teaching watching that. Is it quite, do you sort of go for it? Or is it quite sort of held back?
Well, Adam does, he loves it. No, I mean, we're just human at the end of the day, aren't we? So it's not too different to what, well, to be fair, if you catch a group of teachers, you know, at the end of a half term, then it can get a little bit rowdy at the end of the year. Yeah. That's when things can go a little bit turbo. But I think it's when we can let our hair down, because it is just so hard during the term to sort of keep a straight face certain times and not swear. That's the worst one, not being able to swear. So when it comes to like half term, if you're on a night out, you just let it all out. Yeah. Let it all out, and all the F's and Jeff's and the rest of it.
Do you know, like, when, you know, you break the seal when you're drinking and you just go to the toilet constantly? As like, part of school staff, you can never really get to the toilet at school because you're constantly with children. So when you're on the lash, you don't mind breaking the seal. You enjoy the comforts of having leisurely toilet time.
And when you need to go to the toilet when you're on the lash with primary school teachers, do you have to put your hand up, or can you guys just go?
Well, again, we take liberty to just go whenever we want. The freedom is exhilarating.
You were saying just then, Lee, that we're only human. And to be honest, in my head, and in a lot of my listeners' heads who've got kids in primary school, you're not only human. You are, primary school teachers are angels sent from above. They are unbelievable.
Superheroes.
They are. You guys are. So, genuinely, everyone who works at the school that my kids go to, they're fucking amazing. We love them so much. Yeah. So
they are. Yeah. It's like everyone does. Unless you write for a certain type of newspaper or you're in charge of funding education, everyone else seems to appreciate the sort of hard work, dedication, and how amazing teachers are in so many different ways. Apart from the people who make decisions about teaching,
apart from the people with millions of people who buy their comic newspapers and the people who make the decisions. But this is what the great thing about podcasting is that, you know, you get a voice and you get to rant about things like that. You get to enjoy your job. Do you think it's made you enjoy your job more because you always you see the funny side and you're always looking for the angle that you'll take onto the podcast?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I love teaching. I love being in class with a group of kids and teaching them stuff and helping them grow as a person in so many different ways, whether that's intellectually, if I can actually say it. If
it's, that's a great word to stuff up.
Socially, whatever it might, I know, yeah. It's all the other stuff that I absolutely detest. It's all the other nonsense that's come into teaching that has taken it from a really desirable, respected job to one where, you know, I think behind HGV drivers now, it's one of the most sought after jobs in the country, which is it says a lot, doesn't it? So, but yeah, with the podcast, it really does. I mean, what I love about the podcast is the way it seems to help a lot of other teachers and a lot of other school staff. So it's almost like we've created this little community and people are able to, you know, I think sometimes if you're in the wrong school, if you're not in the school that's sort of right for you, you can feel that little bit isolated, especially over the past couple of years where teachers were working in bubbles and they weren't able to sit in a staff room and chat and catch up with everyone. I think our podcast became almost like that little staff room for a lot of staff. And so that for me is what makes it amazing. So yeah, it does. I mean, we're always on the lookout for funny stories and things that happen in school, but every day is different. So there's always something that happens and straight away I'm like, that'll go on the pod.
I'm having that. Well, yeah. I feel the same way when you guys sent me a lot of the things that you've been buying on Amazon. I've got to say, Adam, Lee sent me a lot more than you did, mate.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I mean, I have to admit, he buys a lot more tosh than I do. Yeah. I feel like my purchases are very much more serious. You can say that.
Yeah. Absolutely,
I mean, to be fair, do you know what my issue was? When I first joined Amazon, I think it was around about 2011, something like that. My obsession was DVDs. I mean, I had the most insane DVD collection. So throughout 2011 and 2012, it was all DVDs, DVD box sets.
What sort of stuff? Movies?
Movies. There was Band of Brothers in there. There was The Wire in there. There was Sopranos in there. And then movies. But I went through a Mel Gibson phase. I don't want that to reflect bad on me, you know, with what he went through.
This was before.
I should have sent it to you, really. There was six in a row Mel Gibson films that I bought.
Adam, that is the idea. You send me the stupid stuff you've done on Amazon. And the first thing you've sent me, Adam, is from 2015, and it's Kenzie My Life. Ordered on the 24th of
what even is
February.
That?
Kenzie of Blazing Squad fame's autobiography.
I mean, what, a book?
Yeah, a book.
Oh my God.
To be fair, he's bought a book. I mean, that's great. You're literary. That's really important, Adam. Really,
is that the only book you've bought on Amazon?
No, not the only book, Lee. Don't worry, mate. He's also bought. God, on the same day, mate, on the same day, Why Men Love Bitches. Over 1 million copies sold to Adam alone.
I have to be honest. Oh my God. With that, Why Men Love Bitches, basically, I had a friend who'd recently been cheated on and been dumped by a boyfriend. So for her birthday, I bought a Why Men Love Bitches. And I'm sure it says on the front of it, from doormat to dream girl. And it was kind of like a guide of becoming. And then, great exclusive for your pod here is that girl ended up marrying one of my best friends.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
I know. And they've got a child.
What?
Are you claiming that you were Cupid in that situation by handing the book?
I was telling my mate that she was a right bitch.
Are you telling me that there is currently a child on planet Earth that exists because of the book Why Men Love Bitches?
Exactly.
From doormat to dream girl. Well, that's good. I mean, it's a slightly rough way of saying girl power and, you know, be your own woman, but fucking hell, that's what
the best thing was. I gave the girl Why Men Love Bitches and I gave my best mate Kenzie's book and he modelled his look. See you at the crossroads.
I'm still in shock you bought a book off Amazon, Adam.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at ToasterPod is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a sarnie filled with cheese and ham. At ToasterPod, I swear it's not a scam.
We're learning a lot about this sibling relationship here. All right, well, let's flip over to you, Lee, and we can see the first thing you bought.
I have to start here by just saying that this has been petrifying for myself. Now, I've been listening to a few of the episodes in the build-up to this, and I think, was it Alex Zane you had on?
Oh, my
and
God.
His number of Amazon purchases were quite high.
We've never had higher. You've not gone higher than him, have you?
I reckon I have done, yeah. I reckon I must be up there. In my defence, I, as a married man now, have a shared Amazon account with my wife.
Well.
So I put most of it down to her because she's a serial. Like the other day, the delivery driver dropped something else off and uttered the words to me, "You do know your wife pays half my wages." And I went, oh, I bet she does. So that just gives you an idea of how many things wow.
just,
through our house.
Just to
Amazon.
Be clear, wow. all the dildos are Lee's.
Can't get them on Amazon.
Oh, you can, yeah. mate. You absolutely can. You can, Lee.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. We'll get on to that in yeah. a bit. It's yeah, it comes to something when we know our Amazon driver, like, and he literally walks off and says, "See you tomorrow," and I'm like, "How yeah, do you yeah. know I might not have something tomorrow?" Oh no, yep, here you are, it's tomorrow, yeah. and you're back. It's no,
it's scary, isn't it? And it's the convenience of it as well. Like, I'm a sucker for that now because I'm walking distance from like the Trafford Centre, a huge, big, you know, shopping complex. But my worst nightmare now is actually going outside to go into a shop.
I know.
I can't think of anything worse. It's just. I'd rather just order it and then just be chilling out, get delivered, job done.
All right. So, Lee, yeah. 14th of March, 2003. And I sense that you are studying at this point because here's a man who has got no intention of actually reading the real thing. He's a York noter to his absolute core, this guy. He's got the York Notes of 1984. I mean, mate, 1984, yeah. one of the simplest books in the world. You do not the book is in itself the York Notes, I would say. Also, the yeah. York Notes, you've got the York Notes, again, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, one of the shortest books I've ever read. You've got the York Notes there as well. So we're York noting here.
This is really, really embarrassing. So I did English Lit for A level, so this is me in upper sixth, not bothering to read the actual books we were studying. I don't know if this is because I think I got a D English Lit, and I can tell you now I didn't read a single one of the books. I didn't really pick up reading until I was like fully grown adult, beginning to be. Once I was a teacher, that's when I started to realize, you know, sat through a few lectures about the importance of reading, how, you know, amazing it can be. And that's when I first started really reading. In my school days, I hated it. I just was not interested at all. So I managed to get through an A-level English Lit, getting a D, by not even reading. So there's what else was in? So there was Brave New World in 1984.
Yeah, in York Notes form. I bet you've never even been to York as well. The Great War in British Literature. That's long. Fuck, that's dull.
Oh my God. We had to do loads of war poems.
But that's written by a man called Adrian Barlow, who is literally my best friend's dad.
That is really?
That's unbelievable. Oh my God, his name just leapt off. That's so funny.
No way.
My best mate, I've known him since I was two. His dad is Adrian Barlow, and he wrote this book, The Great War in British Literature.
What's your mate called?
Yeah.
Edward Barlow.
I was
Barlow.
Hoping for Peter, I'm not going to lie.
Or Gary.
Or Gary, every time. So, God, that's weird.
Yeah, so that's my claim to fame. I didn't actually read any of those books, but somehow still got a D.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't know
bad.
If that says much says about the exam system at the time.
Because
that's when people would say they'd pass anyone.
I genuinely thought your claim to fame was going to be that you bought a book that Tom from the Toaster Pod's mate's the dad of. That's my claim to fame. Like, wow, that is clutching at some serious straws.
That'll do, guys. Yeah. Well, I just...
So yeah. Yeah, 2000, March as well. So we're talking only months before the exam as well. I'd left it late there.
Also, worryingly, possibly near to the time when you were taking driving lessons and doing your driving test. I hope you didn't have the same approach to your driving test with this.
Well, I actually did fail my theory.
Did you?
First time, because it was just as the hazard perception was brought in.
It got much harder, didn't it, overnight?
Well, it was, and it was sort of, you didn't know whether, in the beginning, you didn't know whether it had registered your click. So I overclicked. I got a little bit too giddy, overclicked and failed it. So, yeah. But I know, I don't even think I bought a highway code. That's not in there, is it?
No, that's possibly
why. You couldn't get it as an app.
No.
It wasn't around as an app. You'd
that's
have to
right.
get the book.
Back in the old days, back in the old days. Okay, fine. All right. So a few textbooks there, which you've skipped over and got yourself a D. Interesting. I'm interested in the reading thing, though. That is, because it is so important for kids to read, isn't it? And that is, you were telling me about this, that the kids that read are the ones who go on to better things. It's just a known thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the research has shown the single biggest indicator of how successful children will be later on in life. Yeah. The single biggest indicator is whether they read for pleasure. And I just wish I knew that when I was younger. I wish I would have just. And this is where I'm trying to set a much better example for my own children. Yeah. And I read to them as much as I possibly can do. And even though my two sons struggle with their reading, they're both dyslexic, but I just read aloud to them. They just absolutely love stories. They love books. And it's just so, it's that human connection with it as well. Storytelling, it's so, so important. So even though, you know, I'm sort of bragging saying I didn't read my, I just wish I would, because I would have got a much better mark. You know, probably would have been a lot more successful than I am.
And when you're reading to your kids, do they enjoy Kenzie My Life or...
Well, yeah, I went more for Marcel. I've got the other Blazing Squads. We've got it in an anthology, each one of them, their own story, and you know, one each night.
We read one and then he reads the other and then we flip reverse it.
Oh, it's good. Oh, come on. That is pure gold. Oh, yeah. I love that. All right, well, listen, let's come back to you then, talking of flipping reverse it. Adam, we'll come back to you. 2016 here, you've got the Cheatwell Games Humbug board game.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, so basically, when we were kids, our parents had this game called Humbug, and they used to play it with their mates. Clearly, like when you were younger, you didn't know what was going on. I mean, they were all putting the keys in a bowl. I had no idea what was happening. but they were basically...
That's not a game.
Yeah. But basically, they used to cry laugh. Like, our parents used to cry laugh about this Humbug game. So obviously, Christmas came around and we started playing it. But the problem was, it was going from like 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s. That was when it basically stopped. It was a proper old school Humbug. So in 2016... I had a little look and they'd done an updated version with like 90s noughties. So I bought the game. But the problem is with the game is, you know, I actually think I'm a really good hummer, but no one ever gets my ones. And then I start kind of acting it out. And then, you know, I remember doing knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door and I was humming it and I was knocking and then pointing to the sky to try and get people to guess it.
That's not how it works, mate. That's not how it works. No, but
see, I have to say, I mean, I think you should
have a go now. I think we'll be the judge of whether you can hum or not.
Okay, all right.
Choose a song. Should we give him a decade? Should we give him...
Let's give you 90s, please. Come on, I need 90s.
Right, okay.
Yeah. 90s, right, here we go.
You ready? Yeah, 90s, yeah? Right.
90s, yeah, go on. Oasis.
No, I've got it in my head.
You're a northern lad. All right,
putting me off. Right, one sec.
I know it.
Oh, Brian Adams.
Yes.
I do it for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see?
1991. Okay.
I had a bow and arrow here, though. Just before then I realised I don't have my camera on.
I'm standing in a river in Nottinghamshire. Listen, guys, we might have just stumbled upon a new podcast format. This is a fucking great... Okay, right, I'll do one. Ready? Okay, let's see what you guys like.
Is this 90s as well?
What decade are we going for?
I'm going to stick with 90s, yeah. Don't forget, he's talking to a man who works on magic.
Oh, yeah.
So right. I am. Oh,
he's going to have a back catalogue now.
Just put yourself... Imagine you're sitting in the back of a cab on the way home, drunk with magic on the radio. Okay, here we go. It's a tricky one. I'm not going to go for an obvious one, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Aerosmith, don't want to miss
you. To hear you sleep.
That's my wedding song.
That's his wedding song.
You're joking.
It's my favourite film.
Armageddon,
1998. What a movie.
When I worked at Odeon Cinemas for about a month, and you know, obviously everyone has the name tag with the favourite film underneath. I was known as Adam Armageddon. I mean, what a kick-ass name, though.
Adam Armageddon sounds like a wrestler.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like it also feels like a mindset, you know, like what mood are you in today? Adam Armageddon.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what's crazy though? I always tell this. It was crazy is my interview at Odeon, people don't believe me. I sat there and they obviously asked me just the, you know, what would your customer service be like and this. The last question that they asked me on my Odeon interview, and I remember clear as day where I was, sat there opposite this guy and he goes, if you could compare yourself to any movie character, who would it be and why?
Oh,
and
wow,
I thought, what a question. And the weirdest thing is, I kind of had already planned this question. So I said, so my answer straight away was John McClane in Die Hard. And he went, why would you say that? I said, because if terrorists took over the Trafford Centre, I feel like I would be the one to fight back. And it was basically like, he offered me the job in the room. He was like, welcome to the squad.
Wow. The blazing squad.
I think if they just saw you in a vest, the terrorists would run away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is amazing. Right, Lee, come on. We've got to do the rule of three. We've got to have you hum one as well. Come on.
Okay, I'll go 90s. I'll go 90s, okay, but I'll go for a bit of a different genre. Let's see if we can get this one. You ready?
Don't start rapping. All right.
California Love.
California Dream.
California Love,
isn't it? There we go.
Is it
California Love?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
California Love, Tupac featuring Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Oh God, I feel really cool now that I knew that song, although that was pretty big chart.
But you said California Dreams, isn't that Katy Perry?
I thought, is it not Beach Boys?
The Eagles.
Well? Yeah, I tell you what, though, Humbug, anyone looking for a game for Christmas, it's an absolute belter.
Yeah. I vouch didn't know for this. Guys, I've never heard of this game.
Oh, it's honestly, it is so good.
I'm surprised. Magic DJ.
Yeah, mate, I know. Well, listen, there's some great reviews on here as well. 5 stars from Ian Walker. It's a really funny game that we can have plenty of laughs with and well worth the money. This game, says Dummy, took us all back to our childhood. We had great fun playing this. And then we got Amy. Mm-hmm. 1 star, waste of money. Oh, fuck.
Oh, Amy.
Do you know what Amy is?
She's sober.
Amy can't hum.
Yeah. She's tone deaf, isn't she?
She'd have just been like, nah, 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 nah. Like, it was Wonderwall, guys. Like, oh my God, Amy, would you leave?
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
And the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of 2 Mr. P's in a podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.
All right, good. Okay, let's bounce over to you now, Lee. Let's head into 2015, please. A couple of interesting purchases here. February 2015, again, bought on the 24th of February, which is weird because Adam has been buying stuff on the 24th of February as well. I don't know what's going on with you guys. Then, Dumb and Dumber costume, a men's Lloyd tuxedo outfit, £48.50.
So this will be Adam's costume for his stag do. Was that 2015, Adam? Yeah,
it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we promised after my stag do that we would never, ever go back to Benidorm. And then because someone actually said yes to Adam, we broke that promise and went back to Benidorm. So we decided to put him in an outfit. And what better than Dumb and Dumber, classic. But here was the thing. We got Adam to pack his bag. Then I took his bag home. And then left it at home and then just presented him with the Dumb and Dumber outfit at the airport. So he had to wear the Dumb and Dumber outfit. And this was the thing. It wasn't even a decent, you know, like the fancy dress. It's not even, what sort of material
disgusting.
Is it?
It's plasticky sort of.
Yeah. It's horrible material. The worst thing about that was obviously I'd done some shopping. I'd got a couple of like brand new NBA vests, which I like to wear on holiday. And I'd packed my bag. I thought, I'm going to look decent here. This is like, you know, I was still relatively single at the time. No, I'm joking. But I was just like, you know, I was, you know, feeling good about myself. And then when my bag got, this is the worst bit. I had to be in that orange tuxedo for 4 nights, right?
Oh, you must have
and my boxes
absolutely hung.
I had a cast
Stinks
on
at
as
the
well.
Best
I'd broke my wrist 3 days before in a football game, and I had the same boxes on. And basically, the worst bit about it was,
I feel so sick.
It was the same date as the ash cloud, or no, it wasn't the ash cloud. Sorry, it was the French airstrike. On our way back, our flight got cancelled. Luckily, Lee and our other brother were on the last flight, like the last known flight to make it out. Me and my dad and about 10 of my mates got stranded for 5 more nights. And I was walking around the airport in this orange suit that was covered in all sorts. I was stinking like never before. And then the worst bit was, and I don't want to, you know, take this podcast down a level, but we went back to Benidorm. And I said to the lads, I said, listen, my stag's over now. Like, let's have a few days holiday. I'm going to go out and buy some clothes. So I went and bought two things. I bought a double XL One Direction tour t-shirt. I bought a double XL Benidorm football top. And when I got home, I pulled my pants down, and in my boxes, it was filled with crap and blood. And my mate just immediately started throwing up. And in the bedroom, it was just like the windows were open, the patio. My orange suit went on the Benidorm streets. I mean, I even think if there was a homeless guy naked walking past, picked up that suit, I bet they'd have been like, nah, you're all right.
Hang on.
Oh, God.
Why was there blood?
I think basically
what happens on stag stays on stag.
Exactly,
this is horrific. I feel so ill.
I think Sticky Vicky was ill that night. I think I performed in a place.
Just to give you an idea of what happened on that stag do. On one of the first nights, we were all in the pub, and obviously we're having a few drinks, getting a bit, you know, loud and leery. And then this hen do came in. And there was almost like this little stage in the corner of the pub. So someone just said to Adam, I think the song came on, it might have been Pony by Genuine or something like that.
Stay away.
So everyone sort of threw Adam up on the stage and he started dancing. He started doing sort of almost like a, you know, a Magic Mike type dance. And this hindu were all for it. They were like, wee, wee. And what we'd not realised was that they'd gone to that pub because they'd booked a stripper. For the hen do, but then they were convinced that Adam was the stripper. A little bit later, this guy rocked up, and they were all like, "Oh no, we've already had him. He's that guy in the orange suit over there."
Wow. That's how much of an amazing job I was doing. And the funny thing is, obviously, Magic Mike was already out, but the sequel came out, I think, a year later, and it was called Magic Mike XXL. I think it was named after me.
Yeah, they did think they were catfish. They were like, "You look nothing like on the picture."
Let's come back to you, Lee. This is quite an interesting one. 2017. You've gone for it here, mate. £339 you spent on the UPair 1 RC quadcopter drone with 4K full HD camera. Are you into drones or are you a sex pest? Because I'm really sorry. I don't want to judge you or what you do or your hobbies. But whenever I see a drone, it's always a man who's got it. It's always a man who owns a drone, and they're always usually in a park on a sunny day, and they're standing in the corner. It's basically the modern equivalent of standing in the corner with a Mac on. That's what I'm seeing.
I just love my gadgets. I'm really into my gadgets, and I'd always fancied a bit of a drone. So got it, and I use it all the time. I use it quite a lot in my school. So we've done like tours. I've got, you know, I filmed the school grounds, and the children do sort of narrations over the top, and that's on our school website. At sports day for years, we've always sort of live streamed sports day on Facebook.
I feel
for parents
guilty
who can't
now
be there.
For suggesting you a wrong-un.
You thought he
that's
was
really
like
sweet.
You thought he was like Inspector Gadget, like go gadget nonce.
No, it's just
go gadget nonce. What's the moral of the story, Penny? You've got to delete your internet history. That's so cool. That's lovely.
So we've actually used it quite a lot in class. I took it on a residential as well, so I was filming it while they were doing all the activities on a residential. Kids absolutely love it.
Well, it is amazing, isn't it? As soon as you use a drone, it looks incredible. It looks like a professional Hollywood film outfit have turned up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's the quality you get on it is absolutely incredible. So it is one of the more expensive ones, but I think I've got good use out. I should have bought it out of the school budget because I've used it mostly at my school. But
claim it back. Quite right. It's quite fun though. You can freak your neighbours out because it makes quite a threatening sort of. It's got a sort of angry
angry kind of swarm of bees noise going on. If you just put it over your neighbour's fence and they hear that, you can freak people out with it. It's quite fun.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I watch News Round with the kids today. You know, like BBC News Round, we always put it on at snack time at school. And I was watching it, and today, funnily enough, it was about this guy, this proper gutted guy, was droning over these alligators, and an alligator jumped out of the water and bit his drone and dragged it into the water. And the guy was just like, yeah, so this is my drone. This is what's left of my drone. He went, I don't think my bosses are going to be very happy. I was laughing my head off.
I've got to say, there must be a Twitter account dedicated to men whose gadgets are destroyed, because it's when they're a grown man and it's basically they turn into the five-year-old whose Lego's been broken. There was this thing for a while. There was this craze. People would queue up to buy the new iPhone or the new Xbox, and they'd buy two, one for themselves, and then they'd get the other one and they'd go and stand next to the queue of people queuing for this new thing, and then they'd get it out and they'd film themselves doing it and they'd just smash it to smithereens.
Oh, God.
Just to really freak people out.
Oh, yeah, that'd annoy me.
But I'll tell you what, it can be quite temperamental sometimes, you know. There's been a couple of close shaves where I'm trying to control the drone.
Don't.
It starts towards, just starts nosediving towards the kids, and I'm like,
oh my God. That's a letter back to the parents you don't want to write, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say, it accidentally took itself into the single mother's garden on my street. She was sunbathing at the time. I don't know what he was doing. It was a malfunction, I swear.
But 3 days in a week? Yeah, it just malfunctions a lot, like I'm saying. All right, Adam, we'll come back to you now. This fits as well. I mean, I'm guessing this is what you wore when you went back to Spain in 2016. A rowdy Roddy Piper T-shirt. Talk to us about Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Well, the thing is with me is I've never been massive into my fashion.
Never has a truer statement been said.
Put it this way, that Dumb and Dumber suit on my stag is the most expensive suit I've ever wore. Listen, I was a massive, massive wrestling fan. I was a proper wrestling head, and I still look
Hulk,
back.
Hulk Hogan kind of era.
I was a massive Hogan fan, but then I went back in. We were watching it together, really, in the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior, then Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels phase. Then we kind of took a little bit of a break when we were starting to get into football and things like that. But then when you realise that you didn't have to just do football, you could still like other stuff. We got right back into it during the Attitude Era of The Rock, Stone Cold, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to...
It was sort of the perfect age for that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when it went that little bit more risque, it wasn't as squeaky clean as the Hulk Hogan era, which was perfect when we were like six, seven. When it came to the Attitude era and we were that little bit older, we were sort of teenagers, we were sort of, finding stuff out, and they were coming out with all the different sort of, hand gestures and all. It was just perfect timing. It was the perfect...
One of my favourite all-time childhood days was when we got new mattresses and we threw our old mattresses out, and we basically asked our dad, our mum was working, we asked our dad, Dad, can we put them in the garden, create like a bit of a wrestling ring? And he was like, yeah, no worries. Obviously our dad was just easy life. Yeah, go, just be careful.
Yeah, just be elsewhere. Be somewhere where I'm not.
Yeah.
The problem was we put like four mattresses outside, covered the garden, and we got the ladders out, we got the chairs out. And then the best bit was we had a belt, didn't we? We had the Parkey Championship belt, which me, Lee, and our other brother Ryan used to wrestle for, and we'd arrange matches. The best bit was our brother Ryan, we used to call him the Rhino because he was quite big. And he used to have his own finisher, but it was an original. No one ever did it. And it was called the Rhino Slam. And I'm not going to lie, how no one broke the neck, I will never know.
But tell us how it looked.
It was basically like a normal slam, but instead you curled the head under the arm.
Jesus
and then
Christ.
You kind of DDT'd them in the same way as a slam. I mean, to be fair to our brother Rhino, he had decent techers. because we're not rolling around at this minute in time.
Yeah, we're still walking.
But the best bit was, I mean, I remember, I think I had a slight injury, maybe a neck tweak, and Lee and Ryan ended up fighting for the championship. I was special guest referee. But because I was special guest referee, I announced it was a first blood match. Now, we'd never done one of these before, but our parents were out, so it was anything goes. Now, Lee and Ryan were beating shades of shite out of each other until our brother Ryan, old Rhino, couldn't get it done with a Rhino slam. He ended up picking up the house phone, which was brand new because it was cordless. And he cracked Lee over the head with this cordless phone. A little bit of claret comes down. I'm ringing the bell. And then I attack Ryan. It was. I'm talking. We could have gone big with the Parky wrestling brand. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. How old were you at this point?
25.
Like, there you go.
There it is.
That is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
Good times, good days.
Do you ever feel now when you're in charge of kids, are you like, oh, I really want these kids, whether they're your own kids, the kids in your families, or the kids you teach, do you ever think, I really want them to get those same memories, and how can I, because there's not much you can do to sort of artificially create that. You've got to let them discover those moments, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, so I've got 10-year-old triplets, so I constantly feel like I'm a WWE referee at the minute. That's all I seem to do is just separate them. They just are at that age now where they're constantly, you know, like when they're just not doing anything, but one of them decides, I'm just going to go over to my brother and just like kick him. Just see what happens if I kick it. That's my life at the minute.
Triggers me a lot. In fact, even that story is making me want to shout, just telling me that story, because that is my life. My 9-year-old is hyperactive, and as soon as he's got nothing to do, he just goes up to the other one. It's like, I'm going to beatbox at him. I'm going to beatbox at him until he punches me in the face. And you can hear this. He goes, and then... and just like
well, when my son goes over to his brother and he's like, I'm just gonna kick him, I'm sliding in the chair. I'm going like, you're gonna do it, ring the bell.
Lee's one of those dead dramatic referees. When they try and push him, he rolls over the couch and throws himself over.
So Lee, have you got triplet boys?
No, I've got two identical boys and a girl.
Oh my goodness, mate.
But my daughter's like the boss, so she the boys don't really mess with her because she will leather him. She, to be fair, she'll love me.
All right, good. Okay, excellent. We're going to move on, guys. We're going to stick with you, Lee. And there's a couple of interesting things here. We've got, in 2018, you've bought the Boot Buddy, the newest, fastest, and simplest way to clean your muddy footwear. It's going to clean your muddy footwear in less than five minutes. This can't be real.
It's a game changer. It's just...
Talk to me.
Well, again, with the kids, they're all at football on a Saturday, they're at rugby on a Sunday, and then training through the week. It's non-stop. So, you know, Boot Buddy is just, right, boots off at the door, quick little wash round.
Yeah.
Sparkling, brand new, in the garage.
Good to go for next time.
Yeah,
so it's brilliant. Okay, so it's basically like the boot equivalent of one of those washing up handles with the fairy liquid inside the handle.
The dish mat.
It's one of them. Facebook absolutely got me. You know how sometimes the adverts on Facebook come up and you just get targeted? That's how it happened. Saw the Boot Buddy. I was like, I need one of these in my life. And to be fair, it's one of the rare ones that didn't disappoint.
Well, so Facebook and Instagram advertising is famously fraught with risk, isn't it? Like, a few of them have been really bad, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I've been duped a couple of times. Like, there was one that I saw an advert, and it was for a massive bean bag, like a huge bean bag. And I was like, I'm having that. And then without even realizing, it was just a fake company. And I just paid for it, and there was no way of getting it back. So I just didn't get my bean bag. But I got my Boot Buddy.
That's such a basic man thing to do, just to see a big bean bag. Oh, yeah.
He didn't need a big bean bag.
You didn't need one, mate. But
I didn't need it, but I saw it. Someone jumped into it and sort of disappeared. And to be fair, I just felt like, there's my new wrestling ring. So, you know,
I'm getting good online.
I could suplex my kids so clean on that beanbag.
I'm getting good online because, I could spend 50 quid on a memo by Paul Chuckle, but I'm refusing to do it. Like Razor Ruddock. I don't know what I enter. I don't know whether it's my Deliveroo account, but Razor Ruddock pops up on every single one of my socials, like, get a video from me. I'm like, Razor, leave me alone.
I think if you eat a certain amount of beef, it just heads, it goes.
bring your cookies. This guy's going to love Razor Ruddock.
Which celebrity would you most like to get a personalised message from? Or
Jason
most
Donovan.
Hate? Really? Is he your hero?
Mate, I'm obsessed. And I'm a bit older than you guys. In the 80s, him and Kylie, I had the biggest boy crush on him when I was about 8 years old. I didn't quite understand what was going on. And it's honestly, I was completely in love with him. And he's the one person in my time at Magic. I've interviewed loads of people and I've never been starstruck. And there was a moment when I was going to interview him and I was like, I'm not sure I'll be able to hold it together, genuinely.
No way.
No, I'm not joking, guys. It's not funny. It's not funny.
No, that's quality. I just think out of everyone in the world, if you'd have asked me, who'd rate this guy wants to get a memo from, Jason Donovan just wouldn't enter my head at all. But fair play.
Listen, guys, he was the Justin Bieber of his day.
He was big
back in the day, man. I remember watching him on... Don't leave, because I'll get...
Emotional.
I sang, when I auditioned for drama school, I sang that as my audition song to try and channel my inner Jason. Yes, mate. Yes, I did.
And how did it go?
Well, now I've got my own podcast, so who's the winner? How did it go? It was at Easter. It was for East 15, really nice drama school, and lots of people wearing...
Is that a school or a band?
Well, it's East 17 is the band. East 15 is the well-reputed drama school who existed long before East 17, but have somewhat been upstaged by the...
When they announced the exam results, you can stay another year, stay down.
Yeah.
That fucking song is not a Christmas song.
The Christmas bells.
Yeah, the bells at the end make
it's a cynical stab at the Christmas market. Unacceptable. Anyway, everyone was singing like musical theatre stuff really seriously in Lycra, and then I stood up and just did, I close my eyes, everybody join in, Drew back, and the tutor just stopped me halfway through and went, thanks, sit down.
Vitamins B and C and D, get it for myself, for my health, on the cheap, gotta stay in shape, but I'm so lazy, Prime online, next day delivery.
All right, listen, Adam, we're going to go back over to you now. 2018, again, he's a literary guy. He's a literary guy, Lee. I don't know why you're suggesting that he's not literary. He loves his books. He loves reading. You know, he's imaginative, and that's why he's bought, on the 25th of February 2018, Colourful Cox, an adult colouring book. Because can I just say, there are two levels of dipshittery going on here. Not only... Have you bought an adult colouring book? But if there's one thing that the most basic male knows how to do, it's draw a dick and colour it in. So
what year was this again?
2018.
So he was working in a school. You were working in a school there.
No, it was.
And you're buying that
sort of
book.
I remember what it was, and you're not going to actually believe this, but it was for the same person who I bought the Why Men Love Bitches book for.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it kind of became a tradition, so to speak. And I started running out of ideas. And I'm not going to lie, I just thought, what does this girl like?
colouring in.
Yeah.
And male members.
Well, judging by the cover of the book Colourful Cocks, she likes big pink dicks with wings.
Who doesn't
like that, mate? Who doesn't like that? You know, you've got it's extraordinary.
Get that colouring book and colour in what you think Jason's would look like.
Oh, don't talk to me about Jason Donovan's dick. I am trying to run a podcast here, mate. Stop it.
I close my eyes.
It's cock of many colours.
Oh, God.
Let's go over back to Lee now, then, so we have a quick look at the adult colouring book. I don't think
swiftly on.
Yeah, we don't need to dwell on that. And this is quite poignant. Look, Lee, 2019, you've spent £117 on the a Yeti USB microphone. Is that the microphone that you got when you started doing this stuff?
It was the first proper microphone, yeah. So when we first started the podcast, what mics? They were like mics I'd got from something. They were like tiny little clip-on sort of lapel mics, the worst quality. If you listen to the first couple of episodes of Two Mr. P's in a podcast, it's barely, you can hardly hear it because the quality is absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But the blue Yeti mic was when we bought him. We were like, right, this is the start of it now. It was when it started to get, I think we'd planned our first show at that point. We'd started to get quite a bit of a following and an audience through listening to the podcast. So we were like, right, Yeah, let's invest in a decent mic to go forward. So,
and how,
yeah, that was the.
I feel like this is quite, you know, it's a nice moment to see you guys doing that, because this is the beginning. Well, not the beginning. You've already said you'd already started, but this is when things starting to get a bit professional. Things starting to lift off. What was that feeling like? And I say this out of interest, but also envy, when you realised that word of mouth was making the numbers go up and up and up. That must have been very exciting.
You know, Lee. Obviously had his social media platform. He'd worked tirelessly for years and he built a really strong fan base and stuff. And then went on a holiday, cut a long story, went on a holiday, started talking about funny stories. Lee came up with like, oh, should we do a podcast? We thought of the name together. Two Mr. P's in a podcast. If that doesn't win some sort of podcast name award, there's no justice. And then when it, the funny thing was when it first started, I didn't really know what a podcast was. I'd never really
I still don't.
I'd never listened. I think Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington, when it was the cartoon kind of thing on Channel 4 years ago, I thought that like that was what it was kind of like. And yeah, and then once the popularity started coming, and obviously we had a very strong start due to Lee's following, and then the fact that people stayed with it and were enjoying it and it started moving on. I always remember there was a point, and it was a conversation, and I don't know if Lee will remember this, but it was a point where I love the cinema and I was going to the cinema all the time. So Lee,
Armageddon.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, if it ever gets re-released, I'm there. But it would be a case of Lee had text me going, can you do a podcast on Tuesday? And I'd go, nah, I've booked to go cinema. And then Lee will be like, all right, well, we need to get another one in soon. And I'll be like, I was like, yeah. And I was very much kind of like, oh, I'll get it done. Just I'll fit it in when I can. And I always remember Lee saying to me like, Adam, you know, you're actually pretty good at this and people are enjoying it and we're starting to get quite popular. You need to start thinking, is this something I want to commit to? So I do kind of, you know, owe it all to Lee's faith, because I am obviously a little bit different to Lee, hence the rowdy Roddy Piper and cockbook. But like, you know, when it started taking off, it's such an insane feeling, especially just for me working in a school, you know, had young kids and, you know, I'm absolutely loving every minute of it. Like doing stuff like this. I mean, I'm literally having such a whale of a time. It's like a Tuesday night. Normally I'd be sat there twiddling my thumbs, definitely chowing down on some crisps of some sort. So you're actually helping my diet as well, because the microphone would pick up my heavy crisp noise. But yeah, no, I mean, it's an amazing feeling to know that people enjoy it and it helps. Definitely. Yeah.
It's really nice to take a moment to do that. I don't think we've ever done that on this podcast, to sort of celebrate the medium a bit, because I, you know, found myself sort of wandering around my career going, what am I doing? What's going on? And to have something that you completely control, like you just know, you must get that, Lee, now. You know when it's a good episode. You know what's good.
Yeah.
Like I feel today, in fact. And you just think, you know.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, it's true, though. You just think, yeah, this is great. This is great.
Yeah.
And just to get that buzz and that kick, and then to see people starting to review you and say this is great, and then to see people turning up at your live gigs, it's pretty special. But am I right in thinking, Lee, it still doesn't quite eclipse just being a teacher?
No, it comes close, though, yeah. It's... And I think just our little niche about teaching, because I don't think there may well have been, but I wasn't aware of it, a sort of podcast about teaching that wasn't really serious. It wasn't, didn't take itself too seriously. It was more just sort of celebrating the good side of teaching, the lighthearted moments, the hilarious things that happen. And I think we sort of found a real niche that has resonated with a lot of people, whether they're in education or not. Just having that like you say, control of not having to necessarily answer to everyone. It's our little thing that we have started, and it is special. And I think that's what's great about podcasts as a platform, is it's just really revolutionized so many sort of careers that have been created. And you know, we're just kicking off a tour that we're going to be doing over the next year, and there's so many other podcasts that are in, you know, have managed to create live shows, like, you know, what's the one that I got onto a while ago, My Dad Wrote a Porno. Like the success of that one is just unbelievable, really sort of inspiring. And we just, you know, keep what I ride this wave and see where it can take us.
Yeah, it's great. It's so exciting. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Okay. Listen, Adam, I'm coming back to you for one final one from you. Then we'll do a final one from Lee.
Okay.
So, Adam, there's two on this last order here. So this is May 2020. We're in lockdown. Of course, you've bought the Schwarzkopf Live Color XXL blonde hair dye. Of course you have. But also, you've bought the Tomy Pop-Up Pirate Classic Children's Game. The what's it called when you put the daggers in the side of the barrel with the pirate? Is it called Pop-Up Pirate?
Yeah, Pop-Up Pirate.
You bought that as well on the same day. So take us through what the 9th of May 2020 was like.
So my lockdown, I basically, I wasn't going into school. I was, working or doing what I could from home. We were still doing the podcast, distanced in the garden and stuff. And I just thought to myself, barbers was short. I just said to my wife, I said, do you know what? I'm going to dye my hair blonde. My wife was just a bit like, well, if you want, like, I'm not really that bothered, because we weren't going. Obviously, it was, now that you're kind of going back out and you kind of do, obviously we're doing shows and stuff again, meeting people. You take your mind back to that first one where it was like, when Boris came on the screen, he was just like, everything is closed. It was just kind of like, whoa, like, seriously. So I just thought, I'm going to dye my hair blonde.
Inspired by Boris's blonde hair, is that what you were?
It made my Boris impression even better. Yeah, and then at the same time, I sat down and watched the first Pirates of the Caribbean with my little girl, and she just absolutely loved it. And I mean, anyone who doesn't say that first one, The Curse of the Black Pearl, is one of the all-time, like, action swashbuckling classics, then they're absolute fools.
I've not watched that with my kids yet.
What?
What am I doing?
That's a disgrace.
It's a great family film.
That is a
stop listening
film
to Jason Donovan and get on Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was going
to
say, I bet they've seen every old school Neighbours, haven't they?
Can't believe I've just admitted to the Jason Donovan.
Jason, he's technical a dreamco.
Also, rudely, I didn't ask you back what yours were. We'll get to that at the end. Right, sorry, keep going, Lee. Keep going. Adam.
No, go on.
So, yeah, so so I'd bought her a pirate outfit. We had this big cardboard box and we created a ship in the living room, and she got so into pirates. It was just like, so then I just started illegally downloading everything. I was like, this is real piracy. No, I'm not joking. And then I just thought, are you kidding?
What's that, Daddy? It's a watermark, darling. Don't worry.
Yeah. And then I just thought, oh, do you know what? Classic pop-up pirate. But what you don't realise is those swords get everywhere. Like, especially when you've got, like, my little boy, Max. I mean, we should have called him Ralph, because he just wrecks everything. And he'd just pick up the kind of tray of swords and just launch it. But I mean, there's no better feeling than when you poke the pop-up.
Get to the end of that sentence very quickly. Yeah. This is an emergency request to get to the end of the sentence.
Are we on Pop-Up Pirate or the cop book? I can't remember. And then the pirate pops up. I mean...
I tell you what, if you put that in the right hole, the pirate will pop up. Let me tell you.
He will pop everywhere.
All right, listen, we're getting towards the end. Lee, we're going to go for one more item from your Amazon purchase history, which I'm fascinated by, actually. You bought this on the 10th of January 2020. So this is before the lockdown happened. I wonder how long this would have lasted during lockdown. It's the mobile phone jail. This is a brilliant idea. And it costs £8.
Yeah.
And it's literally a little cage that you have to lock your phone in. I talk about this a lot on the podcast. I'm hopelessly addicted to my phone. Are you as bad? Is that why this was bought?
Yeah, I'm probably worse. I've never used it. I don't know whether I bought that for me or we've bought it for my stepson, who is 18 and just as, if not more, addicted. So I think the idea was, because he's gone to uni now, but we were at a point where we're like, right, we need to spend a little bit more time together as a family, maybe watch something together, but we all need our phones away. Yeah. And I'd be quite hard on him, but sort of like, why don't you just put your phone away? But then my wife sort of, well, you never put your phone away. I can put my phone away. If you were to get something, I'd put it away. It won't bother me at all. I've never used it. I don't even know where it is.
There's an amazing review here. Someone called Jody has written, 1-star rubbish tat. Flimsy crap. You can pull it apart so a lock is pointless. You know Jodie has pulled it apart, don't you?
She's going like, I've got to check my Instagram. Yeah. Like, honk.
Listen, Lee and Adam Parkinson, this has been an absolute delight. Two Mr. P's in a pod. It's out every week. It's a brilliant podcast. If you went to school, if you're a teacher, if you've got a kid, especially in primary school, I cannot recommend it enough. As for their language and the things they buy on Amazon, don't judge them too harshly. Should we leave it at that? Is it fair to say?
We don't speak like that on our podcast. We are, this is after hours.
Or
this
to
is,
your kids.
The views of the two Mr. P's do not reflect those of their schools. As we said, we are human. But no, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, and if anyone has a problem, we'll just get our other brother to rhino slam you. No, thanks for having us, mate. Really, really enjoyed it.
Guys, it's been so much fun. Can I just hum you out? Can you see if you can get this song?
Go on then.
You're too young.
Oh, it's Donovan, isn't it, Jason? What's the song he did with Kylie?
Lucky.
Is it especially for you?
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
There we go.
Especially for you.
Don't test me.
I'm gonna play us out with that. We can slow dance together.
I've never known anyone try so hard at humming.
I really scrunched up my face. Oh man.
You got to get Jason on. We need to start a campaign to get Jason onto My Mate Butter Toaster. Yeah. It's got to happen.
I wouldn't. I mean, he needs the publicity at the moment because he's doing a tour. Ooh. I wouldn't be able to cope. I honestly, sweaty palms just thinking about it. I couldn't do it. I'd have to get you'd have to come along with your drone to film him for me, with your sex pest drone. But also, much like you coming on this today, guys, you shouldn't meet your heroes. You know what I mean? That is what worries me. If I meet him and he's just a bit of a fucking asshole, I'll just be a bit disappointed. Yeah. You know? I love him.
Or his Amazon's just filled with Jason Donovan merch. Like, bit weird this way.
No, his Amazon's just full of like really hard right literature. Mein Kampf, Jason. Mein Kampf and dildos. Oh man.
Kenzie's biography. What was it? What's the book about bitches?
Oh, my God. Men love bitches. Oh, I'll tell you what, Kylie was a right one.
I couldn't cope. Stop ruining Jason Donovan for me, for God's sake. So the celebrity messages, mine's Jason Donovan, right? Which you've really gone to town on. You've had a lovely time mocking me for having good, solid taste. What about you two? Who would be your dream, right, number one video message? Lee, I'll come to you first.
Oh, do you know who it would be for me? I think I can guess who Adams would be as well.
Oh, that's
I think
good
Adams
game.
Would be up there for me.
It's like Mr. and Mrs. but with brothers.
Right, can I take a guess at Adams and then I'll see if he can guess mine.
Hang on. Wait. So Adam.
Yeah.
Have you got your phone in front of you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
All right, so what I want you to do is text me, just DM me on WhatsApp. You got my number?
Yeah, I've got it on the group, haven't I? Yeah.
Yeah, so just WhatsApp me who your ultimate message would be from.
Right, okay. Yep, here we go.
And be honest, don't now change it just because you know that you think right.
Don't worry, I'm going to arbitrate this, mate. I'm going to be like the wrestling referee. Okay, all right, I've got one here.
Right.
Oh, I've got an option to block or report you, which I might well do.
It was only a cut colouring book, man.
All right, so
I've texted mine as well. Yep. I've texted mine.
Got yours. All right. So Lee, what is Adam's ultimate video message? Who would it be from?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Am I right, Adam?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
You're spot on. Yeah, that's it. Yes. All right, okay. Going the other way then. For a one-all draw.
I don't think he's going to get this.
I
don't think he's going to get it.
Mr. and Mrs. Adam, who would Lee's ultimate video message be from?
Oh, do you know what? It's so hard. There's a couple. Right, I'm going to go for one. Would it be, dead or alive? Are they alive?
I sniffing around for clues.
Of course they're alive.
Oh, it's hard. Right, I'm going to go David Beckham.
Very nearly. Very, very close. Very similar physical size. Similar football skills.
Go on, Adam, who's my idol? Who can I watch for hours?
Lee Evans.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He loves him so much, he's named himself after him. Come on.
And he's got similar ears as well, to be fair to him. He's probably sweating like him as well now.
He is with that drone.
Yeah.
All right, listen, guys, this has been great. Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Oh, thank
cheers,
you.
Mate.
Thanks,
lads.
Oh, cheers. Thanks for having us. Long as I love you, I'm thinking of you when I'm without you. I think about you.
Please don't leave me. Don't leave me. Why do we have to part? Two Mr. P's, their podcast is really good. It's really, really funny. You'll love it. They were great, weren't they? Enjoyed that a lot. All right, back next week. More of the same. I love you, pretty baby. I don't want you for the rest of my days.
GreatBigOwl.com. Hello. Nicholas Craig, author of I, an Actor, is back. It's a podcast. It's available wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Thank you.
From comedy legend Nigel Planer and Great Big Owl.
Nicholas Craig, I, an Actor, a podcast.